The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Araldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
For my Coney Island.
Year after I graduated high school, the excellence, Coney Island baby. I took my baby, my littlest, my youngest, Sol, and two of her girlfriends to Coney Island. It was our annual trek. Wonder Wheel is great. I want to thank Steve at the Wonder Wheel. 95th anniversary of the Wonder Wheel.
Huh.
Scares the girls. You know, we always get on that swingy car. And that thing is so old. He's okay. Whoa. Screaming. It was very, very, very cute. I'll tell you about that. My friend Donald Trump, as Noam was reporting earlier today, has reported for jury duty downtown the Supreme Court this morning. He might as well be president given the crowd's reaction, the press surrounding him. He may well be. I'll tell you about a brand new Fox poll that shows Donald Trump far in the lead. But I'll also be asking, I'd love to hear from you all at 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. I believe that a lot of Donald's surge is driven by a wave, a tidal wave of unreasoned immigrant hatred. We'll talk about that as the show moves on. But I want to start, really, I just want to give Morgan Freeman, I've met him several times over the years, a wonderful, wonderful actor, Oscar winning, but more than that, a wonderful man, a big-hearted, compassionate person. Lost his granddaughter over the weekend, stabbed to death in this bizarre attack by her boyfriend, I guess, this 30-year-old Lamar Davenport, who knifed her, cut her up terribly, invoking Jesus's name. Is that what he was doing?
Apparently, as he was stabbing her, he was screaming something about Jesus, yeah.
Bringing Jesus back. So Idina Hines is gone, a promising actress, granddaughter, I guess step-granddaughter, technically, of Morgan Freeman, who is absolutely crushed by this. The world will never know her artistry and talent and how much she had to offer, was the statement issued by Morgan Freeman. So our sincere condolences to he and his family, or to him and his family. I was in Chicago yesterday. I went to do my friend Steve Harvey's show. He's a wonderful guy. You ever see him?
Love Steve Harvey.
He's got a million different shows.
Yeah.
He's so sincere, so glib, really. He's the only one, only new show in daytime who's really made a big move recently. And he did his debut show that will air on September 8th and 9th. I was on the episode that will air on September 9th. Which is, what is that? September 9th is a Wednesday. Wednesday, September 9th. It was a crowd of 2,000 men, and on stage was 200 women, and it was what women want as seen through the eyes of men. So you know what the hottest topic talked about was?
No, what was that?
Lenny Kravitz's wardrobe malfunction, where his fell out. When he split his leather pants.
His manhood.
And his manhood. And I said that... If I was hung like him and I had to fold it in half to put it back in, I might take my time too.
So, of course, I'd be showing off to everybody.
So, anyway, it was very funny to see the crowd's reaction. And how, you know, Erica told me that her friend, I won't mention her name, screened it just 30 times to make sure that she was seeing what she was seeing. She gave Erica the link, which I guess has been
downloaded. Couldn't believe what she was seeing.
Tens of millions of times.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like when, what's her name? Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson did it. Or
Nipplegate.
Yeah. But I mean, Nipplegate is nothing compared to Lenny Kravitz. Anyway, we really... And Coney Island, speaking of Coney Island, and believe me, I'm going to get... And Steve Harvey, by the way, Steve Harvey will be with us. He'll be joining us live on either Tuesday the 8th, the day before the show, or Tuesday the 9th when the episode airs. So you'll be able to ask him whatever you have on your mind. I really love his attitude toward everything. You know, he's a very interesting person. Got married at the age of 20, was just like all of us, bad and self-centered and narcissistic at that age, and turned out to be a great family man. Takes care of all his kids in a way that he should, and a real example. I like the guy. Anyway, Coney Island reminded me last year when I took Soul to Coney Island. This year was the Sandcastle contest, which was nice and, you know, kind of G-rated. Last year was the Mermaid Parade. I took her on the day of the Mermaid Parade. So nothing but tits everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, everywhere. I mean, just flamboyantly, hundreds and hundreds of them. Can you say breasts? Anyway.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing. Sol was just 9 years old, and we took, I went by boat from the house in Edgewater, went by boat to Coney Island. We took our bicycles from the dock. We're trying to drive around, and there's everywhere you look. And right at her eye level, these women with these big-breasted women, some of them had spangles on them and whatever. But it was really shocking, and Sol was... I heard her telling her two little friends, Lola and Alex, who came with us, about last year and talking about it. And she was shocked, and I have to say, not offended, that's too much. But, I mean, definitely shocked by, you know, the public nudity. And I explained last year, and in the conversation, the reason I'm mentioning is this whole thing with the desnudas, the bare-breasted performers in Times Square. There's no law against, and she asked me again this year, Dad, it's true, isn't it, that there's no law against the woman being bare-chested? And there is no law. And now the New York newspapers, I mean, both tabloids, and the New York Times over the weekend in a expansive piece are talking about the desnudas, which is Spanish for nude women, bare-breasted performers in Times Square. And I guess what they do is they just have a thong on, and they have someone body painting their breasts, and then they go and pose for pictures. And, you know, they cover their nipples as they're being painted, and then reveal everything. And there's nothing on them, just the paint. And then they go and they get an average of $5. They make about $300 a day from this, all cash, obviously. They're mostly Latinas now, but I'm sure that as it's like the costumed, the various Toy Story or the Despicable characters or whatever it is, they'll spread. I'm sure that a good thing will catch on. The mayor and the police commissioner both are exasperated. They don't want Times Square. You know, when Mayor de Blasio created the big I love the open air aspect of Times Square. It screws up traffic a little bit, but as long as I'm taking my bicycle, I don't care about it. And but what you have in the replacement of the old Times Square, you know, talking about the excellent thing about Coney Island, baby, in 1962, Times Square was just hookers and sleazy and strip joints, and then it became Disneyland. Now you're getting a little R-rated stuff with the desnudas, and the mayor, the police commissioner, everybody is saying, what should we do about it? The question is, what can they do, given the fact that there's no law against it? And as shocking as it is to my daughter, there is no law against it, and probably shouldn't be. I mean, I personally don't care about it. I don't think they are so aggressive that they are obnoxious. And if they are, there are clearly remedies. You could ask a cop. Cops will bust them in a second for aggressive panhandling. They're not allowed to harass people or hassle people or grab people. They're not allowed to do any of that stuff. And if you complain about it, the cops will take them downtown immediately and it's the last thing they want. My point is, let it be. I mean, if it's not at the tipping point yet, you could always zone the area. I think you could get away with zoning it so you don't have nudity within a certain area. I think that probably is constitutional, but I don't think doing it is not something that we should really care about.
And don't you think if you're coming from like Kansas, that's part of the whole thing?
It's part of the allure.
You're like, oh, hey, I saw nude women in Times Square. That was kind of cool.
And here's my picture. It cost me $5.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me get to what we all want to talk about. It's Donald Trump and this Fox News poll that is so dramatic. It is unbelievable. I mean, first of all, remember that scene outside the courthouse this morning when Trump arrives for jury duty. That's no accident, and it is driven not by his popularity or his charisma. It is driven by the fact that he now leads the pack in the group running for the Republican nomination for president in a way that is stunning. Trump is the preferred candidate now for 25% of the Republican primary voters. To give you an idea, that's one in four. So to give you an idea of how big that is, 25%, in second place with less than half of Trump's appeal is Dr. Ben Carson at 12%. Trump 25, Carson 12, Senator Ted Cruz experiencing a mini surge at 10. Former Florida governor, the man I always pegged as the only one who could really beat Hillary Clinton, is scoring a humbling 9%. Show you how much I know to round out the top four in the Fox News poll. So it's Trump 25, Carson 12, Cruz 10, Bush 9. You know what's driving it, don't you? What's driving it is his harsh immigration policy. That's driving Trump's popularity, in my opinion, because the surveys show that his surge is most dramatic among white working class men. White working class men who have a disproportionate voice among Republican primary voters, but will be, you know, a minority, obviously, when it comes to the general election. And when you remember what happened in Virginia, Colorado, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Arizona, swing states where Latino voters could make a difference, I think that Trump's surge is good news for him in terms of winning the nomination. But I think that it is ultimately going to be harmful to the GOP nominee, Trump or whomsoever, if that's the Republican Party position. That is, forget about everything President Obama said about deporting just criminal immigrants, cutting some slack to the vast majority of the law-abiding families here seeking a better life. Trump says he wants to deport all of them, including the children who are here illegally. So how exactly is that going to happen? I remember the shot, the infamous shot of Elian Gonzalez, the Cuban kid, being forcibly extracted by armed federal agents. I want you, before we go to commercial break, to imagine that scene under President Trump being reenacted millions of times. Millions of times. How are Latinos supposed to respond? How are decent Americans supposed to respond to the forcible deportation of between 11 and 20 million, mostly Latino people? Who's going to do the snatch and grab? Cops? Federal agents? Vigilantes? As charming as my former celebrity apprentice boss is, how can he endorse any policy as fundamentally un-American as this massively inhumane proposal?
The executive order gets rescinded. One good thing
you'll
about...
You'll rescind that one, too?
One good thing
you'll
about...
You'll rescind the DREAM Act executive
you're
order. You're
going to have to.
DACA.
We have to make a whole new set of standards. And when people come in, they have
so
to come
gonna
in...
you're going to split up families.
Chuck,
you're going to deport children.
Chuck, no. We're going to keep the families together. We have to keep the families together.
But you're going to keep them together
out. But they have to go.
What if they have no place to go?
We will work with them. They have to go. Chuck, and we either have a country or we don't have a country.
They have to go. He wants them all out, all 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 million. I mean, who knows, 500,000 here in the New York City area alone. How many buses will it take to ship 500,000 people out? And what happens when their citizen children go? I mean, I feel like crying when I just recite it. It is so bizarrely un-Trumpian to the guy I know. It's so heartless. So impractical. I mean, some things. I mean, he wants to build the wall. All right, whoever pays for it, it's going to cost billions of dollars. I just was in Mexico with the El Chapo prison escape, okay? So that was the super maximum penitentiary, and El Chapo managed to tunnel under it. So when we build this billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars it's going to cost, right, to build this wall. I don't know, maybe tens of billions. I don't want to be exaggerating, but tens of billions. They're going to buy $50 shovels and $25 ladders. Walls can't keep people out. They can't. Look at the Berlin Wall. I mean, no, that, are we going to do that? Are we going to shoot people when they hop the wall? What are you going to do? I mean, there's some things I like about what he said that I want to bring up the whole notion of making Mexico pay for the undocumented or any country that knowingly collaborates, however unofficially, with its population to go and violate our border. I think you can charge them some way. I think that's a good Republican solution, partial solution to the problem. Mexico knows they're getting X amount, billions in remittances from those who are here without proper documentation, sending money home to their families in Mexico. That transfer of funds has to be, I mean, they use the same Western Union, whatever they use. It's easily discernible. You can compute what the amount is, and you can penalize the country that is the country of origination of, you know, to the extent that they have the ability to pay. So I think that that's a good idea, but that's a very limited. The other thing you can do is enormously increase the number of working visas. You have 10% of the crop in California now dying on the vine because of the harsh deportation policies of President Obama, for goodness sake. You have 10%, generally speaking, of the agricultural product of the United States dying on the vine. I think that we should tremendously increase the legal temporary work visa program. I'm going to take one call. There's so many of them. And where's my little button? I just take one before the commercial. Phil in Long Island. Hey, Phil. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo. How you doing today?
Good. So what's, tell me, get to right to it. I just got 30 seconds.
It's a great way to do it. I'm a general contractor. I was. I couldn't compete with the numbers from these illegals that were taking my business away. I'd been on the job $5,000. They come in at $3,000. No way I could pay those wages. I get solid work done. I can't hire the illegal. Because I ran a proper business, licensed, insured, you know, all the right paperwork. And these guys are coming in and just taking my business. I had to close my business because people...
Well, you're an excellent caller. Paul, if you could just stay... Phil, stay on the line. I'll talk to you. Going to be 90-something today again?
95, yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Summer's almost over. We have had no meaningful disturbances in terms of, you know, rioting or, I don't know, rioting is overstating what I'm talking about. No disruptions, no public disruptions really in any meaningful way at all. Which brings me to one of my points. I'm going to get back to Phil, the contractor who was driven out of business by rivals, he says, who use undocumented labor. I think that's a really, really important question. But the one thing I want to say about New York City, and as much as I find many of the policies of Mayor de Blasio to be obnoxious, his administration and Garcetti's administration in Los Angeles have both been presiding over historically low crime rates. Historically low. Murder ticks up a couple here or there, but when New York has the same number of homicides as Baltimore, a city 1/14 the size of this one, then you have to applaud New York's success. What do New York and Los Angeles have in common? They are the largest populations of undocumented immigrants in the nation. The largest. As I said, 500,000 here, at least. 500,000. That's more than the population of Salt Lake City, of Tucson. Go on and on. 500,000, and you never hear about them, generally speaking. There is the occasional, I don't know if that awful rape of the 7-year-old on Staten Island, was that guy an undocumented
immigrant? Don't know, yeah.
I mean, if it was my colleagues at Fox, that would have been the second sentence, or maybe the first sentence. You have a situation here where we have been experiencing an amazing trend of reduced crime in areas, in cities that have large undocumented immigrant populations. The cities that are suffering, like Baltimore and Camden and Cleveland and Detroit and New Orleans, they have a heavy concentration of native-born poor people, but it has nothing to do with immigration. You know, so there's not a correlation. My basic point, there's not a correlation between undocumented and crime. If there is a correlation, it is that crime is lower where there are high concentrations of undocumented. My other point, my other observation, I promise I'm getting to Phil and you others momentarily. My other observation is that the people who tend to complain most about undocumented immigrants are those who have had no contact whatsoever with that population. Those folks in Iowa and the other very conservative states, they don't see any undocumented immigrants. They're not people that affect their way of life or their lifestyle, or they don't do anything to mess with. And so I'm curious why people, you know, the old lady from North Dakota calls and she's furious about undocumented immigrants coming here and stealing, et cetera. Phil, though, the caller prior to the break, a contractor on Long Island, says he lost his business to rivals who, unlike Phil, used undocumented immigrants and, Phil says, could therefore charge less for their services. So, Phil, welcome back to the program. Thank you for your patience.
No problem.
Tell me what you suggest. Give me an idea how to fix this.
I mean, the idea is that if they want to work here, and truthfully, I mean, I had to cut my numbers and cut my numbers. I'm coming out with 5 cents on the dollar when these guys are just undercutting the numbers. They're not using licensed plumbers, licensed electricians. I come in with licensed guys. I'm being told I can't do the job because let's say I charge $5,000 for a bathroom, which is a very cheap number. They'll come in at $3,000. If they're not, they'll do all the plumbing, they'll do all the electric. But you know what happens when their house, something goes wrong, their insurance won't cover them, you know, their homeowner, but they're saving $2,000. At the same time, he's getting a job as a carpenter. And I got offered a couple weeks ago a job for $15 an hour, which, you know, living in Long Island doesn't pay for anything. But the reason why they're paying $15 an hour is because they could get other guys that are undocumented. Yeah, they'll do it for $12 an hour. They'll do it for $13 an hour.
So is it the immigrant's fault or is it the employer's fault, is I guess my point, Phil?
Well, you know, just like Trump, you know, is saying, is like, you got to stop, you know, you got to stop it at some point. Get rid of all the illegals. When my grandparents came over here, they stopped in Ellis Island. You know, they got the documentation. They didn't just come over the border. They didn't just run around. I'm not a racist. Listen, I don't care if you're black, white, green, or yellow. You do a good job, you do a good job, but do it legally. You got to do it properly. And if they're illegal, they're not doing it properly. And they're cutting into my numbers. I could not survive anymore.
So is the bottom line that you embrace Trump's proposal?
Yeah, because you know what? You got to stop it at some point. And
so what do you do with those that are already on Long Island? What do you do with them?
It sounds like a nut job. You say round them up and get rid of them. I mean, like, there's got to be a way to documentize them. I don't even know if that's a real word. But, you know, like, you got to be able to put them on paper. Put the papers together. But stop the people from coming over. Don't just say, you all come over here. Because, you know what? I'm just an American guy. I can't make a living because people are paying. And it's the business's fault. At the same time, it's the businesses of our businesses. And they'll pay the low wages because they're going to save money.
What is it? Just tell me, just off the top of your head, what the typical skilled undocumented immigrant gets. What does he earn?
He earns anywhere, you know, like what a...
Per hour.
Per hour, $10 to $15 an hour.
Yeah.
At tops. And, you know, like I say, sheetrocking. You know, like you go by the board. You know, I would charge $135 a board to hang your spackle and tape and paint it. You know, they're coming in at $60. It's half my number because they're paying their guys. And they all live in the same spot. Trust me, I work with guys. Their all name is John. They all have the same social security number. And they all, you know, they had the paperwork, quote unquote, checked out, but I couldn't even hire them because it's their numbers are so low because they're going to do something, you know, they do a good job. They work hard. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, that's what I said, black, white, green, and yellow. You do a good job, you do a good job.
It's a damn dilemma, isn't it? Phil, I appreciate your call, and you're very thoughtful and even-handed, and I think that you're a good American. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
I try. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. You know, I don't know. That's it. I mean, I have no answer to Phil. I have no answer. There's no, however much I want compassion, I have to say that he's right. He's right. I mean, I understand his dilemma. I don't know what the answer is to that. What do you do about that? I mean, is it that the job is only worth $60? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I just, what's the next step? And maybe, you, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening, help me out here. Aaron, I want to get to you, Kevin, Frank, George. Hang in there. I mean, I don't. When I remember the Elian Gonzalez, and I really, you know, I know everybody, Jim, the officer with the the machine gun, the Uzi, whatever he had in his hand there, and the kid in the closet. Is that going to be like in? I guess there's a bunch of undocumented there in the Riverhead area, the agriculture. Are you going to picture that scene? All right, now you got to forcibly deport them. Okay, so who's going to do the rounding up? I'm going to come back to that. Is it going to be Suffolk County cops, federal agents? Volunteers, vigilantes, I mean, these militia, who's going to round them up? And how are they going to do it? And what are they going to do? Going to bring the kid out of second grade, kicking and screaming? The kid wants to stay in with Miss Bauman in the homeroom, and the deporters are going to put a kid. I mean, what's going to happen to the country? I mean, is everyone going to start looking at Spanish people and saying, wondering where that guy was born. You know, you're going to have volunteers like snitching out people like Michelle Malkin proposed a couple of years ago, having neighbors snitching out. In 614 9th Street, there's illegal aliens. I know for a fact that from Guatemala. You know, is that where we're going to come? Is that where it's going to be then? You know, papers, please. I mean,
But then where do we help this guy out? I mean, his business.
I wish.
And he was probably doing everything on the up and up. That was his problem.
I know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what to say. Construction is the one where the rubber really meets the road. Because agriculture, you're not getting citizens to do agriculture. Meat packing, you're not going to get citizens to do that. Poultry processing, you're not going to. It's a disgusting job, you know, pulling guts out of chickens and stuff like that. And the toilets cleaning and the getting the grease from underneath the grill in the all night diner. You know, you're not going to get at what price will an American do that job? I mean, there is a price, I'm sure. What's it going to be? What's a burger going to cost?
WABCradio.com.
Trump comes forward with an immigration proposal that I think is draconian. Extremely harsh. His popularity has surged so dramatically, it is breathtaking. Trump, 25. The nearest to Trump, Carson at 12. Cruz, 10. Jeb, 9. Huck, 6. Scott Walker, remember him? 6. Trump, 25. Huge. Just huge. Unbelievable. And Jose in Hamilton, New Jersey. Bienvenido, Jose. What's up? You're on, buddy. What's up? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I was just calling you because you kept saying this comment that only white American males are voting for Trump.
I didn't say only. I said the primary base of his support is white working class guys. Nothing wrong with that, but that's what it is.
You're so Guano, and my whole family from here, from New Jersey and Florida, I have hundreds of families. They're all voting for Trump.
All voting for Trump.
And
good.
I have Puerto Rican friends, Colombian friends. They all voted for Trump.
The surveys I've seen among Latinos is, all right, I get it, I get it. The surveys I've seen.
I love you, baby, I love you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, man. So the Cubans, of course, get a much better treatment when it comes to immigration. If a Cuban touches American sand, he is a political refugee, basically, if it's not a criminal released by Castro to screw us. They get a much different treatment than, say, the Haitians do, even though Haiti is right next door to Cuba. If you're an undocumented Cuban, you get here, you get basically, you're welcome, unlike almost any other undocumented. So there is a slight skewing there. And I'd be interested. The last surveys I saw were Latinos were 3/4 against Trump. But, I mean, hey, it may have changed. He is so charming. I mean, I still love the guy. I love the guy. I could hang out with him easily. I want to take him to a Mexican restaurant, though. I want to take him to the kitchen of every restaurant in New York and show him who's working there. You know, just go in front of, Fifth Avenue. The bicycle, the food delivery guys. Yeah, Who are they? Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
The guy outside the bodega.
The guy, I mean, come on.
Cutting up fruit.
The guy who's washing the dishes. Yeah, just every, you all know. Everybody knows. But you round them up and then take... All right, where do you live? Go home, get the guy's wife and his kids, too, because Trump says you got to keep the families together. It's not us.
Getting hot in here, so, hot. So take off all your clothes.
The Big Apple experiencing its first official heat wave. Temperatures in the 90s again. And you know who else is red hot? He's the Elvis of politics, Donald Trump. Impossible to talk politics without talking about Trump and this stunning Fox News poll showing Trump at 25%, more than doubling his nearest competitor. And I believe a lot of this is driven by approval of Trump's anti-immigration or anti-undocumented immigration proposals that include the deportation of every undocumented immigrant in the country. He doesn't make clear exactly how he's going to do that. Quite stunning, disturbing in many ways. But there is no denying the charisma of this man, the energy of this man. He makes the rest of the Republican field look like they are walking in slow motion, particularly Governor Jeb Bush. Just looks so deflated compared to Trump. And Trump today reported, as you have been hearing, for jury duty. What was that seem like? Ace attorney Alan Abramson was just from the firm of Abramson and Morak, was just driving by. He's a good friend, as you know, of Rabbi Pasternak, who often appears right here on 77 WABC. So Alan, driving by the big courthouse, saw the Trump crowd. What was that like?
Geraldo, I just drove by 60 Center Street. It looked like the trial of the century was going on, but it was just the jury duty of the century. Donald Trump was finally showing up to serve his jury duty. There must have been 20 television trucks. There must have been 100 print reporters, photographers, TV reporters. It looked like the biggest trial that you could ever imagine, and it was just one man coming to serve one day of jury duty.
All right, Alan Abramson, attorney, just reporting as an eyewitness to that chaos downtown. So what do you think about Trump? What do you think about this phenomenon? What do you think about that crowd reaction you saw today?
It was unbelievable. Geraldo, people were jostling for position. There were people across the street, you know, their necks were craning, trying to get closer. There was a big limo parked out front with security by the limousine. People just couldn't get enough.
What do you think is the secret to his appeal?
Look, he's created an aura about him. He's unlike any other person that's run for president in years. He had a great line the other day. He said, "I don't use teleprompters. I don't look from side to side for people to tell me what to say. I just tell you what I'm thinking. Whether it's good, bad, right, wrong, I'm telling you what I'm going to say." And people are looking for that. They want to hear something fresh, and it's resonating with the public.
Would you vote for him?
No. No, look, it's refreshing to hear what he's saying, and people are responding to that. But some of the things he said, especially on the immigration thing, especially on breaking up families, the things he said about people coming across the border, that's a deal breaker for me. I couldn't support a candidate like that.
All right, Alan, well said. Alan Abramson, ACE attorney for Abramson and Morak. What's that? Rabbi Potasnik. What time is the rabbi show?
The show is on from 7:30 to 9 on Sunday mornings.
Oh, yeah. I just hung up on him. You know, I didn't mean to. But the whole idea, I just want to give you just, I'm going to get to your calls, and I really appreciate them. And they have been excellent today, and I've talked too much. But I feel this so deeply. You got to, you know, give me some slack here. The thing about kids being born here, being automatically citizens here, and many countries, most countries, that's not the case. If you're, you know, a U.S. citizen and parents and you're born in China, your child isn't a Chinese citizen. Your child is a U.S. citizen. And that's the way it is in most countries. Not all, but most. Why is our country different? It's different because of something called the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, passed in 1868 after the Civil War. Why was the 14th Amendment passed, giving this birthright citizenship? It was passed to ensure that the slaves at the time and the children of slaves at the time would be granted full citizenship, even though they had been forcibly dragged here from Africa or bred here by the despicable slave army, whatever it is. Indian tribes, now that the country was expanding and incorporating many of the Native American lands, the government, in its wisdom, said, we have to make sure that all these children, whether born to the Native Americans or the children of slaves, that they are full citizens. And it is that amendment, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, as construed as it always is by the federal courts and the Supreme Court primarily of the United States, has now made the determination if you're born here, you're a citizen here, period. And now you have some unsavory things going on, like parents coming, pregnant women coming specifically to have a child here. When my son Gabriel and his wife Deb were living in Germany, I said, and she got pregnant, I said, you make sure you get your tails back here, although you are American citizens and could register the child. I don't want any doubt. And what if the child wants to, now Desmond, my Desi, my grandson, what if he wants to run for president? Do you want him to have that kind of controversy? Being born in Germany, as he, you know, the Constitution says you have to be born in the United States. John McCain was born in the Canal Zone, so he qualified when it was U.S. territory. Ted Cruz, that question was raised. Dershowitz says Ted Cruz is all right, even though he's born in Canada, because he was born. But why have the question? Have the child born here, then go live anywhere you want to. Get the citizenship established. But now this 14th Amendment, to undo that, you need two-thirds of both houses of Congress to vote in favor of undoing that. And then you need the state legislatures of three-fourths of the states to similarly approve an amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Remember, the Woman's Equal Rights Amendment never passed. That's why. You'll never get three-fourths of the states in the United States of America, including New York and California and liberal bastions like that, to approve a constitutional amendment that abolishes birthright citizenship. Trump is now campaigning on the abolition of birthright citizenship. Is that a realistic political position, or is that just designed to gin up bitterness and bad feelings about, you know, this whole concept? I just don't, it seems so impossible to me. It just seems to be feeding that kind of anti-immigration frenzy. And I don't know. All right, enough about me. Oh, all right, so Alan, just talking about birthright citizenship and the 14th Amendment. What do you think? I think it's impossible, but what do you think?
Geraldo, I agree with you 100%. The whole idea, the 14th Amendment, that citizenship clause, they passed that 14th Amendment because they were fearful that future Congresses would try to override the Civil Rights Act, would try to take away that most important right, that politicians would get involved, that just the sort of thing that's happening now would come to fruition. And so they passed a constitutional amendment that would forever prevent this sort of thing from happening unless they change the Constitution, which will never happen in this area. So Trump is just barking up the wrong tree here. The Constitution is not changing in this area. He's just stirring up the pot. He could never do what he wants to do, and thank God for that.
Alan Abramson, thanks again, man. I appreciate you coming in to clarify. Okay, but what do you think? What do you think? This is a damnable problem we have here. I mean, it's a you've got to either take these people out of the shadows and put them on a pathway to legitimacy. It doesn't necessarily need to include citizenship, at least not right now. But if they're law-abiding, they've been here 10 years, 20 years, they have citizen children. I mean, isn't that the better approach? No? You say no. So what do you do? Is Trump's idea the right idea, the massive deportations? I mean, I don't know that that could ever happen. I mean, I don't know that you could get, like now they can't find doctors to execute people. I don't know that you're going to find cops to come and round up six-year-olds that were born here, so they get deported along with their parents, you know. But what do you think?
Did they ask him yesterday how he would do it? I didn't see the interview that he did with Meet the Press.
Chuck Todd.
Yeah, so Chuck Todd said,
he said they have to go. Otherwise, you don't have a country.
Yeah, but did he follow it up? How are you going to do that?
I don't think there was.
I mean, that would be the logical next question.
That's the logical next question. I don't know if it was asked. Kevin, a nice setting, though, inside Trump's jet.
Yeah, it was.
Kevin, thank you so much for your patience, buddy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Araldo, I'm glad you had a great vacation.
Thanks. I love Italians. Italians are the nicest hosts.
Your daughter's adorable.
I appreciate
that. I saw the pictures on Facebook. Very nice. I'm glad you had a good time. Hey, listen, I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, in China, if you're in Guangzhou, you can't bring your kid to Beijing and put them in school. They don't do that in China, okay?
So there's no social mobility even among Chinese citizens?
They don't allow it. You're illegal. If you're from Guangzhou, you cannot enroll your kid in school. But here's my point. Mexico deports everybody. It deports Cubans. Google it, people. Mexico has no compassion for the Cubans that it finds. It deports them, and it deports them back to a prison state, Cuba, okay? So my second point is this is really unbelievable. The Dominican Republic just stripped the citizenship of 200,000 people.
Okay. From Haiti, right.
And already deported 100,000 of them.
Awful.
Now, check this out. When de Blasio went to the Dominican parade last week, he criticized it, and they booed him. So, I mean, this is the double standard that Trump is talking about, Geraldo. I mean, it's outrageous. And the people who were booing him, how many of them were illegal? Those are people that de Blasio would have stood up for, too. So the point is that all these politicians have got it wrong. They're not listening to us.
So what's the solution, Kevin? I mean, I think you very articulately state some real hypocrisy there. But how would you fix it?
We do what they do. And you know,
how do you do that? How does an American do? Well, are we going to do what the Dominican Republic did with the Haitians?
Well, what happened to the Dominican Republic? You know what, Geraldo? They were acting in their interest because a lot of the Dominicans, I'm not saying that they were wrong. My point was that they were wrong in reacting to de Blasio for pointing
out. No, I get that, Kevin, but I want to know, are we going to be like the Dominican Republic was when they threw out the Haitians? Are we going to round up the Mexicans?
I lived in Asia, Geraldo. I lived in Japan. I got...
You
got
to answer the question, Kev.
Geraldo, every country does that. We're the only idiots who don't. And Europe doesn't do it. Europe, look at... Go Google Muslims on a bus in France. They're screwed. We're lucky to have the Latinos because the Latinos are great people. Europe is screwed. Go Google Muslims on a bus in France, people. That'll make you love Latinos. But the point is they have to get in line, like the previous caller said, Geraldo. We can't have... Look, Mexico deports Cubans. Come on.
All right, okay. Kevin. Well said. I mean, well argued. It's like I'm getting warmed up for my appearance on The Five. Later on today. You know I'm going to be there. You know, it's like, it's the funniest job now to be on The Five. It's like I'd go on The Five to be yelled at.
I hope they're paying you well.
Well, my checks are still clearing, but, you know, it is a very, in some ways, stressful environment.
I would think so, yeah.
Because I know that I'm going to be in the minority. I mean, unless you're talking about, you know, war or something. Even war I had a fight with. Eric Bolling on Friday. He may be the 45th president of the United States. At the very least, he could very well be the Republican nominee. That brand new Fox poll out today. Stunning. Trump preferred by 25% of the primary voters in the GOP. Second place with less than half Trump's appeal. Ben Carson at 12. Cruz at 10. Bush at 9. And the rest down from there in low double digits, all driven, I believe, by the draconian anti-immigration, or in fairness, anti-undocumented immigration policies announced over the last several days by the billionaire businessman who has said he will spend $1 billion if necessary if the polls continue to show him leading. So I think a reasonable chance, at least in these first primary states, Noam Layden.
Yeah, well, if he wins Iowa and then wins New
Hampshire.
He'll
win Iowa, and he may very well win New Hampshire.
And then he wins South Carolina. What stops him after those three states?
That's an excellent question. Excellent question. Will Florida stop him?
The Puerto Ricans in Florida?
The Puerto Ricans are not Republicans. You're talking about the Republican nomination.
But the Cubans are, and they'll vote for him probably.
Well, we're talking about him getting the nomination. I think that that is now becoming a 50-50 proposition, still a long shot to win the White House. But who knows? He is so charming that a lot of these policies, if said in his confident, charismatic tones, might ring in the secrecy, privacy of the voting booth. Who knows how many people feel similarly or just are so frustrated by the way things are that they act out by voting for the anti-establishment candidate, because in terms of personality, who can match him? You know, it's a very interesting, interesting proposition. But I'm so glad our old friend from the Upper West Side has had the patience to hold on. How are you doing? I heard you had a pretty good idea.
Geraldo, it's John, the old man. Look, I need a few seconds here. First, I want to introduce you to a book that my daughter gave me 4 years ago, which helped me to understand Trump. But I also think we need some levity here. The book is called Thinking Fast and Slow. If you read it...
Wait, say it. Are you on a speakerphone?
We will understand the economics of a businessman as opposed to the thinking of a politician.
Marty, call the... call him back and tell him I can't hear him on that speakerphone, and I don't want to give him short shrift. So call him or talk to him and tell him to take it off speaker. Chris in West Hampton, in the meantime, thank you for your patience. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, how are you? You know, I can't believe that you really think that Trump is going to go around like the Nazis, rounding up the illegal aliens and pulling them out of schools. Everybody knows that he's not going to do that, but he speaks. He doesn't necessarily think about what he's going to say before he says it. But the sentiment is there. He's not going to do that. You can't do enough to like disparage him and everything and say you love him at the same time.
Well, I hate that idea. I hate the policy. And you tell me how it's going to happen. Then why say it that you're going to deport people?
Other people. It might discourage other people from coming across the border, thinking that if they just get here, they're in. It might have something. I mean, to do something. Who else is doing anything to stop the flow? But do you think if all these illegal aliens were voting Republican that we would have this problem?
You'd have Trump complaining.
but it just wouldn't happen. The borders would be sealed. Everybody knows they're just going to come in and vote Democratic. Even the Democrats that are here now don't really approve of what Obama's doing. They need a fresh fleet of new Democratic voters.
So what would you do, Chris? I'm asking everybody. What would you do? Like, you live in West Hampton, right? So in West Hampton.
I live in Manhattan, but I'm in West Hampton Beach now, thank God.
So, all right. Okay. So you're lucky you. So,
I agree.
You know, who picks all the corn out there? Who picks the crops? Who cleans those houses?
What you're saying, but if they weren't here, the rates would be high enough to make it important for other people to do it. We're not going to deport everybody.
Trump says he doesn't want to raise the minimum wage, though. He said he wants it to stay basically where it is.
Well, because I mean, the market determines what something's worth. If you start paying people artificially and everybody gets paid the same thing, some hard workers will work hard and the other ones won't, and there'll be resentment. You should be paid what you're worth, not what the government says they have to pay you.
So you say that Trump is just saying it for effect?
Not necessarily for effect, but I mean, I understand what he's saying, but nobody thinks he's going to deport everybody. Nobody. Not even you, and you keep saying it.
Well, I don't know. You can't read my mind, brother. But I am shocked that when I begged him to apologize for calling the Mexicans drug dealers and rapists, I was shocked that he refused. I wanted to talk this morning about the desnudas, the women who now are going topless in Times Square, having their breasts just bare breasts painted and posing with tourists, and the officials all agreeing that there's no law against it. And it just reminded me of last year at the Mermaid Parade with my then 9-year-old and her eyes right at the level of all of the, a lot of that bubbly, bouncy flesh and what to do about it. I just think there's nothing to do about it, that it's just one of those New York phenomenons. Maybe it'll burn out. Look at Naked Cowboy. I mean, he's been around forever.
But he's not naked. He just got his shirt off. He's got his shirt off.
And I think his wife poses with an incy, bitsy, teeny-weeny
bikini. I've seen these women in Times Square.
Do you feel offended
by them? Who were painted. And it actually takes you a while to sort of realize that it's not a costume and that it's body paint. You know what I mean? It doesn't, at least with me, it didn't hit me right away. And I'm like, wait, oh, right, they're topless.
But okay. I hear when they rub against you, the paint comes off, which is kind of disgusting. But I think, I think that we have bigger fish to fry, so to speak. But back to the topic, the real topic. I believe that, and I had a caller and an interesting discussion. You hear the one with the fella from West Hampton Beach, lucky him spending Monday out off the beach. And he says that Trump really doesn't mean it when he says it, that you have to deport them. You have to have a country. You have to have secure borders. You want to keep families together, but someplace else, not here. Chuck Todd asks, what if they have no place to go? Trump says, or we'll work with them. You know, what if they have no place to go? Are they going to go back to Mexico or, you know, where Guatemala, wherever they came from? And including the children who are citizens of the United States. I mean, I hope he doesn't mean it, although he certainly did not say he didn't mean it and would fight vehemently, I think, if you busted his chops and said, do you really mean that? But how are you supposed to deport forcibly between 11 and 20 million mostly Latino people? I just think that it's impossible. Snatch, grab, cops doing it, federal agents doing it, vigilantes doing it. I don't know. I just think that it's there is a problem with porous borders. There is no such thing as a sovereign nation without secure borders. But you also have to recognize that the relationship between the United States and Mexico has been one of almost a symbiotic relationship over generations. Until 1848, much of the Southwest, where most Mexican Americans are concentrated, was Mexico. Till 1848, 12 years before the start of the Civil War. I mean, you got to cut them some slack. People say, my relative came from Italy or Ireland or Eastern Europe, and they came through Ellis Island. There was never an Ellis Island for the Latinos. There never was. Todd in Long Island, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. And now I'll take some calls. What's up, folks? What are you thinking, Todd? Thanks for calling.
Geraldo, I have to just take a little bit of you're building a straw man argument that the Democrats constantly use, which is there's going to be like Gestapo-like agents on every corner and ICE agents going through schools. That's not what we're saying, Geraldo. We're saying just the same way they came in, it's the same way they're going to leave. You have to demagnetize the magnet, i.e., you know, birthright citizenship, getting jobs. If they don't have a job to go to, Geraldo, they're not going to come here. And, you know, again, you know, as a nation, don't we have a choice in who we want as new American citizens, or is it just up to some, you know, bureaucrat or somebody in Washington? I mean, don't we as a nation get to say who we want to be immigrants? I mean, shouldn't you at least have the wherewithal to pay for yourself and whomever else you're bringing?
But I want to go back to your original premise, and you make a lot of sense. You're a smart fellow, obviously, Todd. When he says, or are you suggesting, as Mitt Romney did in 2012, that these folks will self-deport?
Right.
I mean, how are they? You really believe that they're going to volunteer to go back and take their American citizen children with them? You really believe that?
What I'm saying is, Geraldo, is the same way they came in is the same way most will leave. And again, I'm not looking to put...
What if they've been here 20 years? What if they've been here 10 years?
Geraldo, if they're a good, upstanding citizen, I don't want to...
But they're not upstanding citizens. They're upstanding people, but they're not citizens, and they're here illegally. What are you going to do?
Well, Geraldo, I would start by deporting all those that are in federal penitentiaries. That would be one.
That's easy.
Next,
nobody wants the criminals.
Right. Well, that's an easy one. That you could kick right off the top. Nobody's going to argue with you
over that one. No one does, but Obama doesn't. President Obama doesn't argue with that either.
Well, how could you? It's just it's
no.
Just
I agree. I agree, but that's not what we're talking about here. You're talking about the bulk of these folks who've never committed any crimes.
I agree.
And work hard in jobs many Americans don't want to do.
Is, and I think it's a common sense approach. Listen, you've been here. You want to be here. We want you here. But get on the back of the line, just like everybody else does legally. And that's the big word that's missing here. They broke the law to stay here. I'm not saying that they're all bad. Not at all, Geraldo. Not at all. But I believe we're making a mockery of the system when we, you know, and again, these false arguments where we're going to be Gestapo agents going in churches and homes. That's not what we're talking about, Geraldo.
Okay, I got you, buddy, and I appreciate the call. Smart guy. Thank you very much. Sal, what do you think about Sal in Staten Island? What's up?
How are you, Geraldo? How's everything?
Good, good. You know, I'm getting really involved with the College of Staten Island now in a big, big way. I want to be making some announcements in the next month or so, a couple of weeks anyway. But God bless you. What's up, Sal?
No, my comments to what Donald Trump is saying about just grabbing everybody, deporting everybody. I do kind of understand what he's talking about. The comments that you make about the Mexicans and the Guatemalans being here and doing jobs that Americans would not do, that's not true. That's definitely not true because we have plenty of teenagers that cannot find work that would work at these lower paying jobs, which should help a family out in the same sense.
I would embrace that 100%, but I just don't think that it's true. I don't think that you have teenagers who are going to go pick the blueberries, go do the February 2 a.m. pizza delivery on the bicycle. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know that there are.
I know you're a very caring person. I see you like to look at things from both ways, and I appreciate the things that you say, okay? But not to be offensive to you, you're naive on certain things because you don't see things the way I see it being on the streets, okay? Like, for instance, the Mexicans come here, they do work hard. And like the other caller said earlier, that he can't compete with them because they do steal jobs. It happens to my brother. My brother has a company. Okay, they come work for them, this and that, and then they try to steal jobs from them. You can't compete with them on that. And that's what they do. They kill the economy here. This is what they do. As far as Trump grabbing everybody and deporting, that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen. I know that's not going to happen. And it's like getting pulled over on the streets. You get locked up for a felony and end up turning a misdemeanor.
That's a good comparison, Sal.
You know, but that's the truth. That's the truth.
No, I hear you. I do. And I appreciate the call. Where you live in Staten Island, just generally?
Annandale.
And how do you think it's going there with the new congressman, with Donovan, Staten Island generally? What do you think of de Blasio?
De Blasio, let me tell you something. In the past year or so like that, actually people caught up to cars, better for money, trying to continue the way it was years ago. The way it was years ago. It's slowly creeping in.
Good point, Sal. I appreciate it. Thanks. You know, that's... I was walking around with Marty and with Craig Friday. I'm telling you, there's many, many more vagrants. Now, I don't mind the bosom babes in Times Square, but I do mind people pissing in the street and stuff like that. And I don't know, what are you going to do with them? I don't know. I mean, churches historically have provided overnight kind of places, but I don't know. Are there fewer homeless shelters? Or are there just more homeless? Now, the economy is better than it was a couple of years ago.
It was, but the Coalition for Homeless says there's a lot more homeless now.
But why is that? If the economy is better, I mean, what is that a function of? Is that heroin related?
No, some of it for sure is drug related. Some of it is mental illness. But some of it is, if you're somebody, and so many New Yorkers are, who are living paycheck to paycheck, if that all of a sudden that paycheck doesn't come in, you're on the streets.
But I get that, and I've been poor in my life. I lived for a time with cereal with water because I couldn't afford the milk. Couldn't you be more organized in lining up for the homeless shelter, taking care of yourself? I mean, there's the ones you see that are so filthy and so aggressive, talking to themselves, walking around half naked, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, to me, that's the most visible sign, that and the response to the Bronx Legionnaires outbreak, of a dysfunctional government, to me. So it's been a very emotional program. You know, Mondays are interesting because I have so much to get off my chest. You do too, Noam. We, you know, you live through, you go from Friday, this trip to Sunday to Chicago. I mean, it was, I woke up, got on a plane, went to Chicago, did Steve Harvey's show that airs on September 9th, got on a plane, came back. So it kind of like eliminated my whole one day to take a deep breath.
Right.
And so I came in kind of wound up tight. And then Trump just went to my sweet spot, or my sour spot, I guess would be more correct. You know, it's rough because I like him, but I like Ann Coulter for many years. I don't want to put it in the past tense, but her book Adios America has helped fuel Trump's immigration policy. It's helped infuse it.
Well, she's an official advisor on his campaign.
Is she really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
She said that his immigration platform was the most important political document since the Magna Carta in 1217.
Wow, that's big.
That's really big in 1,000 years. The most. I don't know about that, but it has certainly resonated with a certain segment of the American population. Many, many... just regular Joes and Janes saying, shaking their head and saying, you know, he's onto something. And it shows the enormous disquiet there is about this particular issue. Really is a time of, you know, I bet that if I had a radio show in the middle of the 19th century, it would be the same story, only they'd be Irish instead of Latino.
Right, fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. You know, 50 years later, the Italians. Same story, same radio show. I mean, the technology existed, obviously. Same story, same citizens calling. They're stealing our jobs. They're doing this and that and the other thing. You know, it's a damnable, difficult situation. We get over the bridge, and then we want to burn the bridge behind us. I mean, the United States is a shining beacon in the world. And you look at the, you know, I was talking about coming back from Italy. I mean, these are stressed out economies like in Greece. I mean, what are they going to do with all these immigrants coming from Africa? The world is on the move. Immigration is not just an American problem. We're protected by our oceans, which is a selective, you know, it makes our immigrants almost necessarily people that come from the Western Hemisphere. You know, just geographically speaking. Yet all these people, though, in Europe coming from Africa, just remaking demographically France. I mean, all these Muslims coming in, all the rest of it. It is a problem the United Nations has recognized. Trump now tapping into it very successfully, riding it to the top of the polls in the Republican primary process. See you tomorrow. Love you. Thanks for listening.